This is the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you've got a quarter of an hour for us, then we've got 15 minutes for you. So grab your skinny, venti, double whip mocha, your cup of tea with milk and two sugars, or something with bubbles if that's your fancy, and spend the next 15 minutes with us here at the Atlantic Voice.
Heard Lay It Down by Mad Brenda. I'm here with Tom and Sam Foster. They are Mad Brenda. The first question I have for you on the AV15, where did you get the name from? Because neither one of you are Brenda and no one seems too upset.
I'm usually pretty mad, but we got the name because we were playing originally in our basement that was unfinished and concrete, so you can imagine playing here was pretty loud. And our neighbor right next door, her name is Brenda. She has since moved. We don't know why, but perhaps...
Probably living next to musicians, right?
You never know. But she used to call around 8 o'clock and when we'd be playing, and she would complain about us playing too loud. And
she was very nice. She's very nice. So she's not... She would just like, can you guys turn it down? And
She had a toot, I would say. She was a little sassy. Well.
So, for our listeners, I'm sitting in the basement of a very nice townhouse here in the suburbs. I'm surrounded by guitars and equipment and what have you. But basically, this is where Mad Brenda started, right?
Yeah.
Family members playing in the basement, yeah?
Yeah.
Horribly at first, and that's why Brenda would call. And that's how it came about. So Charlotte, Sam's mom, my wife, called down and said, hey, we better quit playing so loud because you're going to make Brenda mad. Maybe that's what you should call the band, Mad Brenda. So,
Ever since then, that was the one that really came up with it.
So, when you guys were first starting playing, were you just playing as it was something to do as a family, or were you playing because, ooh, yeah, we might like to be a band and record some songs and maybe play? Or was it just, you know, people just messing around with instruments?
It kind of started because I wanted to learn how to play guitar and kind of do something with a friend that I had known for a long time. And so he knew how to play guitar. And I was like, why don't you teach me how to play guitar?
So you didn't. You couldn't play an instrument. No. Okay.
And so, and he couldn't teach me how to play guitar. I ended up getting a guitar, and he couldn't teach me. So I went online and started learning. And Sam was in fourth grade, and Tori was in sixth grade. And they would come up and watch me do it. Sam was like, I want to do that. And
then he tricked me into playing the bass.
Well, because we were like, let's start a band. The girls are like, let's start a band. And we're like, we can't all play guitar. Everybody's got to pick an instrument.
He was like, you can play this guitar. It's the same guitar. It's just a little different. This is an easier guitar to play. That was like, okay.
And it was her birthday coming up, so we got her a bass guitar that was way too big. Do you remember that? You couldn't even play, get to the end of it.
Couldn't reach that.
So this actually sounds like a dad buying his kids stuff that he knows he's going to get to use.
Yeah,
right?
That's okay, exactly fair enough. Right. She couldn't reach it, but I could. So,
so lead guitar, bass guitar, and then Tori, your sister, you used to play drums, but she doesn't play anymore, right?
Right.
But back then, the drums were really expensive. I mean, the guitar I got from a pawn shop was pretty cheap, and the bass guitar for Sam was pretty cheap. The drums were really more expensive, you know, like $600-$800, and I was like, "Whoa, that's a lot." And but then Tori got straight A's, and so I bought her the drums, and she was really good right out of the gate. I mean, like
We have to work to play well, and Tori is just naturally
really good. That's how she is about pretty much everything.
That sounds very self-effacing, though, because anyone who's just listened to that song, I don't want to hear that you're working hard. It sounds very natural.
Well. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
I will say this, though, and I do want to say this now as the father of the band, both metaphorically and in reality. You had a straight A student that you then turned into a musician. Did you not feel at some level you were corrupting your kid? I mean, she was a straight A student.
I said, rock and roll, man. Come on, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
So what are Mad Brenda's musical influences? Well, who do you listen to now?
Well, there's been a lot, but what would you say, Sammy?
Well, we're really big alternative music fans, really. Like, that's what we listen to now. And, you know, bands like Rilo Kiley, Silver Sun Pickups.
Those were big influences.
But even, like...
Radiohead.
Yeah, definitely Radiohead.
And classic rock, too. I mean, I really introduced the girls to a lot of classic rock early on, you know.
We play a lot of U2. I've always loved The Doors. Like, we just love to play
some
quality
Led
Zepp music. Yeah.
We actually did a Kiss cover, Detroit Rock City.
Oh, really?
And that was awesome. And everybody thought that we did it, so.
Well, because you told them that we wrote the song. Right.
So sorry, you do the covers, but you do your own stuff. At a certain level when you're performing, what do you get a different rush from doing? Like, it's great to be up there playing a classic that everyone in the audience knows and gets, but is it a different sort of rush when you're playing something that you've written that's your creation?
Definitely.
How does it feel different?
Well, I write the lyrics most of the time, so I'm really attached to it, and it's like just a really big part of my life. And when I'm feeling upset or, you know, stressed or anything, I write just to kind of put it somewhere. And I just write the lyrics and then bring them to my dad. And he's the one who kind of starts constructing songs with me and adds it to that level. So it starts off very small, but we put it all together. And
so there's a Lennon and McCartney vibe here. One does the song, one does the notes, and one does the writing.
So it's kind of like when we're on stage and we're playing, we're just it's like our babies we're handing out there, you know?
Those are the prizes of when we play, is being able to play our originals and people like them. And that's one of the things that's interesting about playing in gigs and playing at places, because most places want you to just do covers, and most bands want to just do originals. So you got to do a blend anyway, and you want it it's a real production to do it right, so yeah. It makes sense, because you want to do originals that sound like the covers, and the covers should match up with the originals.
But you pick the covers that you like listening sure. to, so at oh, a certain yeah. moment. Oh, yeah.
And it's always a negotiation.
Yeah.
with each other, with the audience. Well,
with each
with
other,
everyone.
With the band, yeah. you know, with the other members of the band, you know.
So it talks to me a little bit. I know when we spoke before, Sam, you told me about this almost a sense of rotating guests that come on and play with the band. Talk to me about how that works, how you get other people to play, why they come and go, why they stay. Talk to me about that, and how easy is it to get other people who don't create with you to buy into what it is you're doing.
Well, it kind of started because the original members left the band. Tommy, who played the lead guitar, and Tori, who played the drums, they left. And it was a kind of a progressive change, and
they were just ready to move on, and you know, it was no big deal. But then Sam and I were like, hey, we want to still do yeah. stuff. And so she and I recorded our own stuff, just
us two.
Us two, and started logic. Making music. And then just by sequence of events, a good friend of mine, whose brother-in-law is a drummer, and I've known him for a little while, and I said, hey, you know, do you want to play? And he started playing with us.
And he is a really, really good drummer.
He's
but
a great
he,
drummer.
He loves heavy metal music and super crazy.
But it's good that he blends that into it. But he also, you know, and he brought along the new guitarist that we're working with, Koki, who's an amazing guitarist. And we've worked with others in the past, and it was really just a matter of convenience and whether or not you gel with them.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to do it. You know, some guys are just musicians for hire. And other guys, you know, they want to do it for the experience and for the fun and just for playing. But you've got to find that chemistry. Do you like the same music? You know,
yeah.
it's so.
And that's why it's kind of a shuffling, because we had people come and go and come and go, and nobody really seemed like they were like, yes, we're gonna stay. We're invested in this, so we were looking for that a little bit.
It's an energy. It's you know, it's a relationship. It's a family. It becomes a family. And you really need to kind of gel together.
But you talk there about shared music interests. That probably at some moment it starts with just a conversation. And if someone
sure.
says, yeah, all I listen to is Bob Marley, and you're thinking, we're not doing that right now.
Well, what kind of music do you like? And
okay.
if they're, you know, only speed metal, then you know that's not. But, you know, if they like classic rock, and,
yeah.
then usually we're good.
So I want to ask you two questions. And the first one's going to step on this business of being in a band. When you work with other people, you talked about chemistry. So you are working with a complete stranger. But is there a moment when you feel it on stage? You know, you're playing with two people who are playing different instruments. But
sure.
what's it like that moment when you're with a stranger? And again, not you two now, but when a third or a fourth party's there with the band. What's that moment like when that person's playing and it just suddenly feels like, yeah, this feels right?
Well,
Or does it become organic?
Because we had... go ahead.
Yeah.
Olivia Ford.
She went to Visitation,
yeah.
and she and I have a really good chemistry when we play together, and so we'll write songs, and she played with us this past show, and our voices just really work well together, and whenever she and I play, like, I just feel it, you know,
Well, it lets you open up, and, you know, usually Sam's the front person having to do, you know, all the singing and play bass. It's a lot of pressure on her to not only sing well, but play the bass well. It's tough to sing and play the bass. Anybody that does that knows that. And it was great having Olivia there because it took a lot of the burden off of Sam, and she really had fun up on stage.
Just to have somebody
yeah.
else there, kind of closer to my age, I feel comfortable with, it kind of brings me out of my shell a little bit. And, you know, there are moments when we would be practicing all together where everybody was into it and we'd be playing originals
yeah.
and everybody would add their own little nuances. And I was just like, this is it.
This is great.
So you can feel that energy.
Oh, yeah.
Between each, you know, between each band member.
Yes.
When somebody cares about something that you've written and they invest, you know, their time into it, and they love what they're doing, that is something you can't really even describe.
You can also feel it when it ain't gelling.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. That's when it's just kind of wooden and you're just kind of like playing the song. I mean, like, you know, when Sam and I get mad at each other and we're like, whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a question now, though. Like, again, most of the 99.9% of our listeners have probably never performed. What is it like when you're on stage in a small place in front of 150 people and you're into it and they're into it? Can you put into words that energy or that experience that you have that makes you say, this is why I'm doing this on a Wednesday night?
Well, I mean, it's super duper scary. First of all, it's scary. I mean, like, you know, anybody that gets up on stage in front of people to do anything, it's intimidating. And you're relying on a lot of people to do their part. You're relying on, you know, the sound guys to do their part to make sure that the sound levels are good. And you're doing your best to make the audience excited and pumped up because you feed off the audience. And so there's a lot of things that's going on. It's like getting ready for a game. It's no different than getting ready for a game. And there's all these other influences that can make it good or bad. But you can only really control what you do up there.
See, for me, first of all, I normally don't get nervous before I play. I kind of just, I'm ready for it. And the only time I get nervous about it is when I know that I'm going to forget chords to a song because I haven't practiced enough. But I just kind of go out there and...
What?
I just, you know, we just start and we're just going and it's just good energy.
It happens. It's over so fast.
It feels very net. Well, that's true. Yeah.
I think though, the first time we played at the State Theater, which was a huge gig that we played, that was
my freshman year.
Yes. And, you know, the curtains opened
and
there was so many people there. Yeah. We stepped up to the line. And so like, that was a little scary. You know, it's a little different when you're kind of like getting up in front of people and you've been talking to them, but it was like, there we are. So that was one of our first times and you know, it gets easier.
We just are so excited to show people what we've been working towards and it just feels good.
Everything is about preparation, you know? And so the more prepared we are for a gig, the better it's going to be, no matter what. And this last gig that we played at the Empire in Springfield, which is an awesome venue.
Couple of hundred people, right?
Yeah. And it was a fantastic gig because we were so prepared and we had practiced, you know, two times a week for weeks and weeks and weeks with these guys. And they were pro and they were into it.
And so many people showed up, like people I didn't even expect to see. So when you see that, you're like, I am so ready for this.
Yeah, we're going to rock for you.
Gig's over. Is it, I know it's a cliche, is it hard to come down? Yeah. Are you still buzzing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to go out. You want to hang out with everybody.
You're like wired and you're good.
But is that a sign of a good performance to an extent? Yeah.
Yeah, you know if you messed up or you know if it wasn't good. And, you know, usually if it's a great gig, then people will endlessly tell you how awesome it was until everybody's gone. And you want to stay there and get every bit of it for sure. I mean, like, that's what you've been working for, you know, that final thing.
So, exit question. What's next for Mad Brenda? What's on the horizon now? You've obviously, as a band, for one, you know, or duo, whatever you want to say, you have a history playing, you have original music. You look down the line, is there somewhere that you'd like Mad Brenda to go, or is it just, we'll take it as it comes?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Sam and I talk about that a lot. We actually have that conversation, what about Mad Brenda? And, you know, you brought it up, you know, Tori being an A-plus student. Well, Sam's going to be a junior this year in college, so she's got to finish college.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be, and I have a business to run and a family. So, I mean, otherwise, I think that if we really tried, we could make it a lot bigger. But in the meantime, we're doing what we can.
But we have a lot of dreams. We have a lot of hopes. You know, I mean, one day I would love to have my own little venue and have other bands come in, be able to play. You know, all we know is that we'll always have music in our lives and together. And we're going to be writing, we're going to be playing for as long as...
You know, Sam has, and I want to encourage her to have other things with, you know, other people. I mean, I'm her dad, so that kind of, and it's cool.
They're pretty cool dad, though.
But still.
So, Mad Brenda, I guess it, we end where we started, that it is a family thing. It's ultimately a musical touchstone for you guys. It's always going to be there, even if you're off doing other things. You can always come back to Mad Brenda.
We'll always have Mad Brenda.
Guys, it's been a pleasure having you on the AV15. We're going to finish. Our listeners will hear The Lightest Color. Mad Brenda, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
This has been the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice Podcast.
If you'd like to be on the AV15, please send us an email at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice, and all our episodes, whether it be the AV15 or the podcast itself, can be found on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.